Well, happy 4th of July. Wow, I can't believe it's the 4th. Hope you guys are celebrating safely and having a great time with family and friends. And thank you for spending this incredible holiday with me, Orbert Davis, on The Real Deal, 90.9 FM WDCB and WDCB HD1, Glen Ellyn. And I bet you're thinking that that's the Duke Ellington Orchestra playing in the background. Oh, no, 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 no. It's the Gwendolyn Brooks Middle School Band. I did say middle school band from Harvey, Illinois, directed by my guest for this hour. You know, you think of July 4th as sort of the pivotal point of summer. As we look back, we're about in the middle, and there's a little bit more summer to go before we start buying school supplies. So I know in my house we're thinking about school. So I thought it'd be great to talk about education a bit, and I can think of no one who I'd rather have this conversation with than my friend Roosevelt Griffin, who, let's start with this, is a recent Golden Apple winner. Wow. Welcome to The Real Deal, Roosevelt.
Thank you. Thank you.
How does that feel? Golden Apple. First of all, tell us about it.
Well, so the Golden Apple, they highlight and they reward teachers of excellence. Mm-hmm. It's a foundation, and teachers become recipients by way of nomination. I was nominated by Miss Arletha Bowden from Harvey School District 152.
Where you teach?
Where I also teach. Uh-huh. And then from the nominations, there's a pretty rigorous application process in which they go through applications, and they come up with 32 finalists from the applications. And then from the 32 finalists, they send a team out to the different schools to observe, speak with parents and students, administration, teachers, to find out more about the teachers.
Wow. So did you know this was going on from the nomination?
Well, after the nomination, I received a letter saying that I was a finalist, which was major. And at this point in my career, I'm 10 years in right now. As an educator. Uh-huh. And at this point, it would have been good just to be a finalist. So I was excited about that. They came out to the school, observed my teaching style, talked to my students. However, to become one of the 10 recipients, that right there was just completely mind-blowing. As when I became a teacher, I said before I retire, I would like to, achieve that point where I can receive a Golden Apple Award.
And see, that's interesting, because when I opened the hour, I talked about looking back and looking forward in terms of the summer. And that's kind of where you are career-wise. You're just starting.
You're just starting.
Oh, my
goodness.
Just starting. So, okay. So, see, I know the answer to all these questions I'm going to ask you, because I've seen you in action. And ladies and gentlemen of the radio world, all over the world, this man it's hard to even describe what you do in the lives of these young students. And it's not just about making music, but it starts there. So how do you do it? How do you transform lives through the art of making jazz?
Well, the beginning of it is just to understand that it's not about anything else other than the students themselves. So I understand that the student is most important. Mm-hmm. Okay, it's more important than my band room or than music. But because I care about the students at this point, now I'm going to utilize jazz as a vehicle to teach them life skills, life lessons, to show them how to work together, to bond with each other, to hold each other accountable, you know, for everyday life at school.
Well,
you know,
so where does this philosophy come from? Where did it start? Did you say, you know what, I'm going to do this thing? And where did that come from?
Well, fortunately, I've been presented my whole life with individuals who gave me great examples. So my philosophy, I thought that that was it. I thought everybody thought like this. I thought this is when you become a teacher, this is what you do. Mm-hmm. Early on with John Weber, who I was able to replace, phenomenal educator, one of the best in the world.
So he was your band director?
He's my band director at Gwendolyn Brooks Middle School. Mm-hmm. And I left him. Mr. Eanes, David Eanes over at Thorn Ridge, became a father to me. He became a father because he loved me. He provided me with knowledge and skills so that I can be successful in life, not just music. So I thought this is what teachers, you know, this is what they do. Went to Northern with Ryan Carter and Charlie Schickett. You know, this is what they did. They loved us, you know, and they care for us. So therefore, they provided us with information to be successful in life.
Wow.
And then, you know, there's this man named Orbert Davis, you know, who after college, you know, when I took my teaching job at Prairie State, you know, we start reminiscing about me being in that band at Brooks, you know, many, many years ago. And, you know, so I thank you, Orbert, because you have shown me so much as it relates to how we can use a gift, our gifts, to enhance the lives of others.
Well,
and
you.
I believe that that's what teaching is about.
Wow. Awesome. So I need to backtrack because, you know, I'm understanding everything you're saying and I'm picturing everyone you're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
So one thing I didn't say earlier, which I should have, that you are the band director at Gwendolyn Brooks Middle School.
Yes.
In Harvey, Illinois.
Yes.
Which is the school that you attended.
Yes.
And that's when I met you.
Yes. Yes.
As an eighth grader. You were an eighth grader.
Eighth grader, yes.
And performing at the Prairie State Jazz Festival.
Yes.
So we should also mention the director of the Prairie State Jazz Festival, Valerie Nicholson.
Awesome.
Who
awesome
put this all together. Because even now, I've been doing that festival for about 15 years, I think, now.
Mm-hmm.
And so many of the band directors in the area of the Chicago South Suburbs first played at the festival, and now they're teaching. How much would you credit the festival experience of Prairie State to guys like you who are now giving back to the community?
Well, many directors ask me about, you know, what festival should I go to, what competition, because I actually don't go to competitions anymore, because, I mean, not to knock them or anything, but there are some other things that I want my students to learn from performances, more than just, oh, I was better than that group, or, you know, it's more about being the best that you can be, opposed to being, instead of being the best, be your best, because it's two different standards.
Sure.
So to answer your question, at Prairie State, is the name the festival I give everyone as it relates to festivals, because all of the clinicians, they take time. You know, once again, I go back to that whole love. They love the students, so therefore they're not going to rush the students. They're going to spend the time needed. I remember one year when one of our players couldn't make it, one of our key players, and one of the clinicians said, okay, hey, I tell you what, I'll sit in with you during your performance. So as you all play for us, I'll be playing with you all. And I thought that was just amazing because at that point, my students were able to look to the left and look to the right, and they were playing with a professional, which for many of them, you know, changed their lives.
Right.
You know, so it's the fact that they're willing to give, don't rush, and they really, no matter how good or how bad you are, they're going to make sure you leave there inspired and encouraged.
Excellent.
So when you go back to the band room, then, hey, we take it to the next level. So I credit Prairie State a lot. That's the one event that I'll go to every year.
Awesome. And that's the reason why I do Prairie State. I mean, you know, it's the same thing. There are so many festivals that treat music like a sporting event where, you know, everyone does it for the trophy and who's the best. But jazz is not a competitive sport.
Right.
It's an interactive sport.
Right.
All right. So why jazz? Like what turned you on to jazz?
Well, there's one thing most people don't know about me. My degree is on tuba. So my background is actually classical. I played in Suburban Youth Symphony Orchestra in high school.
Okay.
I was number one tuba player in the state of Illinois
my
senior
right?
year, yes, for IMEA. So, but what I found with jazz allowed everyone to input. Mm-hmm. Okay, so where in a concert band or a symphonic band or orchestra, there's a director. Everyone, all eyes on the director. Director will give us our commands. Okay, mm-hmm. Where as jazz, even now when I tell the students, this is a partnership. My role is director. Your job is to play the barry saxophone, but we have to work together. Mm-hmm. And I found that the students had opportunity to work with each other constantly, listen for each other, take another player's opinion into consideration right. as it relates to their part. Mm-hmm. So now you have trombones working with the trumpets, or the lead trumpet working with the alto saxophone working with the piano player. You know, so all of these connections are taking place, and all of these right. relationships are being built. Mm-hmm. And I found that that was actually benefiting the kids in their social lives. Grades. So now, since you have to be responsible for your section, saxophone, right. Lead saxophone player. So what that means is not only when they're playing, but if one of their grades slip, I'm coming to you because you all need to work this out as a section. Okay, so there's some other benefits of it.
Wow. And as you're talking, I'm thinking about something that I always said, that the thing that got me into music education was reading advocacy that said kids who play music are smarter. And so what I couldn't quite figure out, okay, well, we know that's true, but is it just because smarter kids play music?
Right, right.
So what else have you found about this connection with music and making our kids smarter?
Well, I think what it does is, and I can just speak for our band room and what we actually support and endorse in our band room as it relates to performance or music, is that when students leave the band room, they feel a sense of an accomplishment. No matter how bad or how well they played, mm-hmm. they leave inspired.
Good.
Now, you can take a student who's bashful. If they have to stand up at some point and feel comfortable playing a one-note solo, and it feels good, okay? If it feels good, they can feel it inside. Now they have a sense of confidence. So now when you leave the classroom and go down to Miss West's classroom, now there's a sense of confidence when you read the sentence. So it's not about the being perfect, but it's about the process in which you become perfect, and if that makes sense.
Yes.
You know, so maybe today you're giving your all. Mm-hmm. I have a saying, 100%, 100% of the time, if you're giving your all every day, that 100% will grow.
Yes.
So it helps them with confidence and being confident in who they are, which,
awesome.
You know.
Wow. Well, let's play some music. Let's play one of your early musical influences. What would you pick?
Let's see. A Tisket a Tasket by Ella.
Ella Fitzgerald.
Right.
Now, why?
Well, I'm a kid at heart.
Okay.
And as a teacher, I understand that in order for kids to have the buy-in, you know, because they're into some of the other music, hip-hop, things like that. So why, Mr. Griffin, why are we listening to jazz? Well, it's fun. It does something to your soul. So Tisket a Tasket is one of those things that, hey, it's fun. You know, it makes me think about, you know, childhood. And the kids, you know, they can relate to it in the sense of just the Tisket a Tasket. And from there, we can actually talk about, you know, history and things like that. But it's to give them that buy-in. It's something fun. It's not all. It's not serious all the time. So that's why.
Well, there you have it. Ella Fitzgerald, A Tisket a Tasket on 90.9 FM WDCB.
A Tisket a Tasket, a brown and yellow basket, I send a letter to my mummy. On the way I dropped it, I dropped it, I dropped it. Yes, on the way I dropped it, a little girlie picked it up and put it in her pocket. She was trucking on down the avenue, not a single thing to do. She went peck, peck, pecking all around. When she spied it on the ground, she took it, she took it, my little yellow basket. And if she doesn't bring it back, I think that I will die. A tisket, a tasket. I lost my yellow basket. And if that girlie don't return it, don't know what I'll do. Oh dear, I wonder where my basket can be. Oh gee, I wish that little girl I could see. Oh, why was I so careless with that basket of mine? That itty bitty basket was the joy of mine. A tisket, a tasket, I lost my yellow basket. Won't someone help me find my basket and make me happy again, again?
Was it green?
No, 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 no.
Was it red?
No, 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 no.
Was it blue?
No, 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 no. Just a little yellow basket. A little yellow basket.
Was Duke Ellington's Cottontail. Wow, Ben Webster, the classic solo. We encourage all students to transcribe or get a transcription and play that 100 times or more. This is The Real Deal with Orbert Davis on 90.9 FM WDCB, and I'm talking to my good friend, tubist and educator, Roosevelt Griffin. And Roosevelt, what's amazing about the Cottontail, I think that was 1944 or so, or 1939. but long before what we would term bebop. And you check out some of those lines in the saxophones. Like Duke Ellington was foreshadowing what Dizzy Gillespie would do much later. Mm. So my guest today is Roosevelt Griffin, one of the 2014 Golden Apple winners. Wow. When you said earlier the application process, do you know how many applicants there were at the first go?
Yes, I believe somewhere in the ballpark of 800 total.
Wow. So 800 is narrowed down to 10.
Yes.
All right, folks, you heard it. This is special. So one of the things, and again, Roosevelt is a good friend of mine, and I met him when he was in eighth grade, and we just figured out while we're listening to this music that I always say I did Prairie State for 15 years. It's more like 20. That's okay. That's okay. But I had the pleasure of 6 years ago bringing Roosevelt in our Chicago Jazz Philharmonic team for our jazz camp, the Chicago Jazz Philharmonic Jazz Academy. And we're starting our sixth year in just a couple weeks. And let's talk about that for a minute, Roosevelt. I think I've learned so much just watching you teach. One of the things that even just last year I found amazing, as our camp population grows, we bring in new teachers, and you always want to work with the beginning bands. You figure, okay, you're a senior teacher now. You know, I don't know. If it were anyone else, they would say, well, give me the top band. Or we always offer you the top band. You want the beginners. Yeah. Why is that?
Well, I think there's something special there. I believe at the beginner level, that's where the inspiration can really take off. And I believe if a beginner can be inspired, that's more time they'll have being inspired. You know, that makes sense. So instead of waiting, you know, 2 or 3 years after they've played an instrument, that's 2 or 3 years they've wasted. So I want to get them right at the beginning. You know, when first of all, the truth is, I want to manipulate their minds to let them think that, you know, what they're doing is common. You know, I actually want to challenge them early on before someone get a chance to tell them, hey, you're not supposed to do that. That's no. You're only playing a year. That note is too high. You know, I actually want to challenge them and give them an opportunity to get all of those things accomplished early on. So the rest of the way, it's a lot of fun.
Give us more examples. Like, what else can you do? Like, a student comes in, they can barely play a note. What do you do?
Okay, well, example. I'll put on a recording of a professional group, you know. Mm-hmm. Won't tell them the name. And I'll say, hey, check out this group. This is a group of fifth graders from down in St. Louis. And they've been playing for about a year. I think you all can get here. You hear the note right there? I think you can do it. Try it. You know, and so at this point, they're thinking, hey, well, if they can do it, I can do it as well. So, you know, I get in their heads, you know, have a great time with them.
And you've also been known to have backyard barbecues with your students?
Oh, yes, blast parties and everything. We get the families involved. You know, the community is a big aspect of the teaching. We get the mayor or, you know, aldermen, you know, parents and uncles. In fact, this summer, one of the band parents' dads, he wants to barbecue for the band, just have a barbecue.
Really?
Yep. So I think that's very, very, very important, bringing other teachers in on it. On a barbecue.
Does that affect the music?
Definitely. That's the relationship portion. You know, I believe that you have to first build a relationship with the students. And from that relationship, now they respect you. Okay? And then from respect, then they can respond. Mm-hmm. Okay, in that order. So the relationship portion is so, so key to the success of the students, in my opinion, from my experience.
Well, tell us a little bit more about your community, like the community of Harvey and the demographic of the people and the music. How does that work together?
Well, Harvey has a rich tradition with music, you know, R&B scene with the Dells and now Selena Johnson. In fact, there's a lot of individuals from Brooks who are now playing in L.A. and things like that. Oh. But at one point in time, Harvey was thriving, you know, a lot of industry, you know, factories and things like that. And so currently, you know, sometimes we hear negative things about Harvey, but the truth is, As for every negative, you have 10 positives, you know, 20 positives, and those are things that you don't hear about, you know, every day. Harvey has his challenges, but then we have people that leave. And in the words of my good friend, Aletha Bolton, who's the director of community education, she started this campaign that says, you should go get great and bring it back.
Get great and bring it back.
Right.
All right.
And what she's saying is, yes, Harvey has greatness already. You know, these students are great. Your job is to go see the world, learn as much as you can, then turn around and bring it back to your community and give back.
Wow.
And even with Harvey School District 152, we have so many teachers who did that, went to get great, and then brought it back to give it to the kids.
Wow.
And that's really a situation of commitment and sacrifice meeting passion and love in the classroom.
Awesome.
And today I brought a close friend of mine who's a colleague,
okay,
who did that same thing as I did, same thing as Arletha Bolden did. We got as much as possible, then we came back to the community. So I have with me today Ms. Valdavia West, who's also the union president. You know, we're working hard for, okay, the kids, you know, and everything that we know, our job is to transfer that knowledge to the students. And
wow.
But yes.
Let's bring her in and let's talk about the future of the significance of Go Get Great and Bring It Back, but also how this can play into the future. So right now, I guess this is almost like a sub, or Roosevelt just passed the ball to Valdavia West. So we're just talking about this concept, Go Get Great and Bring It Back. What does this mean to you, Valdavia?
It means that Harvey is a community where it's a family community. And many of our teachers have taught us generations and generations over 30 years or whatever. And so the knowledge that they have instilled in us made us great. And so we want to honor them by coming back and being leaders like I felt that they were to, mm-hmm, me and to Mr. Griffin.
Does it mean that you're moving back into the community, or is it just visiting, or how does that play out?
No, it's home. It's home.
Okay.
We can go anywhere, and we can teach anywhere, and Mr. Griffin can play anywhere, and he can encourage children anywhere. But because Harvey is our home, we come back. And we want to uplift our students so that they can become great educators, great musicians, mm-hmm, great entrepreneurs and doctors. So we choose to come back to Harvey.
Great.
We can go anywhere else,
all
but
right,
we choose to be at home.
Okay. Well, how long have you been practicing this then?
I've been in Harvey for 12 years.
Mm.
Yes. I graduated college and came back home.
Where'd you go to college?
I went to Russ College in Holly Springs, Mississippi.
All right. And I just found out that you are also a musician. You played in the elementary band?
Yes.
In the jazz band as well?
Yes. I started in fourth grade. I played the clarinet, went to the saxophone. So, yes, under John Weber.
Okay. Well, this is good, though, because it's the first time that we're interviewing someone who played music, but not necessarily playing now.
Right.
So how would you say that the music set a foundation?
Music in schools is so necessary. The music allows the children to have a discipline. It teaches them to have a schedule. It teaches them to have a community of friends and to know that if I want to be better, I have to practice.
Yeah.
So that means you got to spend time after school. You have to come early. So it helps the children be better children,
wow,
and be better students, because when they have that confidence and they play for Mr. Griffin's class and they come to reading the language arts and they're still pumped up, they want to read out loud. I want to spell this word. I want to do this. So it's important that they have that music in their lives. It teaches them so much that carries on into other areas of their education.
Oh my goodness. Well, we're gonna hit the rewind button on this one. We could just play that every single week. But one thing that's astonishing to me as I'm hearing what you do, your position, Mr. Griffin, and even seeing the community, is that everyone's working together.
Yes, yes, yes.
Wow.
Yes,
wow.
We work together daily. So if I have a situation, I'll say, Mr. Griffin, could you help me with this? And if he has a situation, he'll say, Ms. West. So we work together to build the kids up so that they know you're not alone. We are your family, and we're going to take care of you. We're going to protect you. We're going to make sure that you build a strong foundation and be a good girl.
Wow.
And be a strong man. This,
okay,
is how you do it.
Wow.
So if I have a young man that I can't really reach, I say, Mr. Griffin,
yeah,
I need you.
So you give him an instrument. You put him in band. Oh, my goodness.
I put him in band. I say, Mr. Griffin, this female voice is not reaching that kid.
Yeah.
I need a male voice.
Yeah.
Could you please?
Wow.
And so,
wow,
that's how we work together. And we build strong students. And we've had students who graduated from Gwendolyn Brooks, Harvey School District 152, and they've gone on and got full scholarships to college. Mm-hmm. They've gotten music scholarships, basketball scholarships, football scholarships, you know, but we want our children to be confident and we want them to be successful. And that's how the music helps.
Wow. And I'm foretelling the future. The next time you're back on Real Deal, we'll be talking about the book that you've just written. Because, you know, seriously, this has to be, you know, a model that other communities can follow. Because, you know, we think of, you know, even in some of my experiences in education, that it's very difficult to get beyond the politics of survival, you know, especially music, you know, to value music. So this is the Real Deal with Aubrey Davis, and you've heard it here. The value, not only hearing the value of music, but the fact that it's working. It's working.
It's working and it's worth it.
Oh, wow. There you go. There you go. Just hit a home run. Wow, this is the Real Deal with Aubrey Davis. And we actually started talking to Rosalie Val Griffin, but now Valdavia West just came in and just hit a home run. So thank you so much for sharing your words, and we'll definitely have you back.
Thank you so much.
Wow. I'm so inspired right now. We got to take a break and listen to some music. And Roosevelt, you and I were talking earlier about one of the major influences on you when you were in high school, and that was a recording by the GRP Big Band.
Yeah. Oh, yes. Yes.
Clifford Brown's Cherokee. Let's check that out. Here's the GRP Big Band, Cherokee, on 90.9 FM WDCB. This is The Real Deal with Orbert Davis on 90.9 FM WDCB. How about that? Cherokee. Man, I remember that too. What was it? Arturo Sandoval and Randy Brecker and Byron Stripling playing Clifford Brown solo together. Well, the key word is together. And we're talking with Valdavia West of the Harvey School District. And while the song was playing, she said something very profound. I asked a question. I should have waited till we were back on mic. But as you can tell, I'm pretty excited about this topic as well. And that is, did you learn how jazz education works as an educator? Where did you get this?
Well, I experienced it firsthand by becoming a band member in the fourth grade and continuing that education until college. And I learned that my band education, being in that band room with Mr. Weber, took me through language arts, science, math. It taught me discipline. It taught me how to relate to other people. It taught me how to lose. It also taught me how to win, which made me a better person and gave me a work ethic that sometimes people don't necessarily have in their lives. But being a band member is so important to me and it's so important in my life. And I try to make sure that if students can't find a way, pick up an instrument. Even if they want to do the pencil beating on the desk, it's fine. Just make it a beat.
Or even those buckets. You know, you see the kids with the buckets and sticks.
Yes. I have no problem with that, but you got to have a beat and you got to have a rhythm, and we can work with it.
You gotta make
then
it
I'll send you to Mr. Griffin, and he'll fine tune it.
All right, okay. So here's a serious question, and when Roosevelt gets back on mic, I'll ask him this too. What about the future? How are you going to carry this on for the future?
Well, it's like a family, and we have a foundation, which is Harvey School District 152. And we have Gwendolyn Brooks Middle School. But the future of education has to be strong families and strong teachers. And we have to support each other. Mm-hmm. The family has to make sure that the teachers are taking care of their babies. Mm-hmm. And the teachers are going to support the babies and support the families. So we have to make sure that we are all connected in a way that the science teacher is taken care of, the music teacher is taken care of. We are not going to eliminate the arts in Harvey School District 152.
Right. I like that.
We
proclamation
are going to,
right here.
We are not.
So how did you feel when you found out that Roosevelt won the Golden Apple? Right now she's speechless, folks.
I am so proud. I am so proud. Because our Harvey School District 152, where people don't feel like there's anything worth value there, we have an established Golden Apple winner in our district who chose to come back.
Yes, yeah.
We have teachers who have stayed in our district for 30 years because they want to be there. We have teachers with notable degrees and are trying their best to be the best that they can be.
Yeah.
And we have students who come back and say, I love you, Mr. Griffin. I love you.
Oh, yeah. I experienced that because I came that morning when it was announced. And we had about 200 people in that band room. And I was just amazed at it. Seemed like everybody in that room won the award. You know, and of course, that's a tribute to Roosevelt's humble demeanor and how he doesn't even take credit for all this. But I felt very proud to be in that room when that announcement was made that he was the winner.
Yes, yes. And we are very proud of him as well. And he has laid the foundation. So he's the first, but there are going to be others that follow behind him.
Awesome.
Because this is what we do in Harvey School District 152.
Wow, well, that's awesome. Awesome. Thank you so much for coming in.
This is what we do.
That's good. Thank you for coming down and sharing with us. And as I said before, you will be back.
Thank you.
Okay. So Roosevelt, let's get back to the life of Roosevelt Griffin. Let's talk about Roosevelt the musician.
All right, Roosevelt the musician. Well, my background, as I said before, is tuba. And what actually, Mr. Weber started me out on trombone. I was a chubby kid in fourth grade, and you know that's what band directors did back then. You know, the big kids get the big instruments.
Hey, our producer Mark Ingram, he played trombone too. He'll associate with that chubby kid kid comment.
But fifth grade, I moved to tuba, I did tuba for quite some time. One of the things that I would say that I was very fortunate to have had was band directors that allowed me to try different things. So even though I played tuba, you know, I was able to try any instrument, mm-hmm. whether it was keyboard or bass, you know, baritone, you know, there was never no you can't, or there was never any limits placed on me. So thanks to Mr. Weber and Mr. Ains for that. So as I went into high school, you know, tuba was my main thing, but I managed to make IMEA on bass. Managed to join a couple of other ensembles on tuba and bass as well. And so, like I said, my background began to shift towards orchestra and symphonic band.
Were you on the track to be a performing musician?
Well, I was on a track to be an architect until
until
junior year when I
college or high school?
High school. Uh-huh. You know, and I wanted to be so much like Mr. Ains. Okay. You know, so I said, you know what, I'm gonna go to Grambling and major in music education. You know, because that's where he went.
Right.
But then I met Ron Carter, who took over the program at NIU,
Northern Illinois. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah, yeah. And I was actually in his IMEA band on bass trombone, actually, in that band.
Oh, the big band.
Big band. Yes.
And that's a hard band to get into.
Yes.
Because there's I remember my last count, there were three or four big bands at Northern.
Yeah. And, well, I'm, when I say bass trombone, I'm in high school. He conducted the IMEA big band.
Right.
And so that's when he recruited me. So I ended up auditioning to NIU on tuba, and I got a full scholarship. And God is so good, because my freshman year, I was able to be in Ron Carter's band on bass. So first semester,
on
freshman year.
Acoustic bass.
Yes, acoustic bass. So I played for Ron Carter first semester on acoustic bass. Second semester, this is Ron Modell's last year at NIU, and I got a chance to move up to the Ron Modell's band on bass trombone. And the following year, Ron Carter, he actually was placed in the top band. So I actually spent all five of my years. It's not four. Unfortunately, I had to take an extra year.
That's not unfortunate. That's a good thing.
Yeah, so I was actually with Ron Carter for 5 years studying under him. And I learned so much. Yeah. And I was the only student in the band that wasn't a jazz musician or a jazz major. Okay. You know, here I am coming from the orchestra playing tuba, because I actually played in the orchestra my freshman year on tuba.
Got it.
So I had the top seat on tuba at NIU as a freshman, and then now I'm in the top band on bass trombone.
Nice.
You know, at Northern. So my experience was a little different in the band. Mm-hmm. And I wasn't one to just get up and just start soloing or anything like that. I played my part. I was a decent musician, but I learned. Ron Carter taught us how to be the family.
Right.
You know, everybody had a role. Like, I was the librarian. You know, and if I didn't have the books out on time, I got the Ron Carter look. But it was that father look, as when he looked at, he don't have to say a word, just give you a look.
Right.
You know,
right,
so
right.
So we built great relationships, and to this day, every last person from those bands, they're making a difference in the world.
Right.
Be it performance, education, you know, entrepreneurship.
Unbelievable. And Ron just retired this year.
He just retired.
Wow. So you still talk to him a lot?
All the time. All the time. He comes out to Brooks quite a bit to work with the students.
Nice.
Never charges. Just want to come and help the kids.
Wow.
Phenomenal. Way from Sycamore. So. Yeah.
Could you say that this foundation that was built, particularly being community-minded, mm-hmm. that you got some of that from Ron Carter as well?
Yes. Yes. Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. Oftentimes, even on campus, he taught us how to take our gifts to the community. You know, he would oftentimes, he would allow us to go and do events for organizations, you know, around campus and, you know, serve the campus.
Like student unions.
Student unions, NAACP, things like that.
Oh, that's awesome. Yeah. I got to get Ron on the show soon. This will be part two. We get Ron Carter down there. And Ron's son is doing very well. I've played his music quite often. Brian Carter.
Oh, yes.
He's in New York. Yeah.
No, but it was funny. Brian used to tour with us. And he was, I guess Brian had to be only 5 or 6 at the time, playing Kungas.
You're kidding.
NIU Jazz Ensemble.
Oh, my goodness.
You know, he has an awesome voice, too. I don't know if he does any singing now, but.
I don't know. On his CDs.
He's phenomenal.
Yeah. Last I heard, he was in Kurt Elling's band.
Okay.
Yeah. Oh, my goodness. Wow. So speaking of Brian Carter, who's no longer 5 years old playing the congas in his dad's band, Roosevelt, let's play something from his new CD, Enchantment. What do you say?
How about that Linda's Call?
Linda's Call. Set it up.
All right. Here is Brian Carter. Linda's Call on 90.9 WDCB.
That was too good, Roosevelt.
Thank you.
I'm Roosevelt Griffin, and you're listening to The Real Deal with Orbit Davis on WDCB 90.9.
Wow. I see a new career for you, Roosevelt. I got a new sub. This is going to be great. Wow, Roosevelt Griffin, we are just having a ball on this 4th of July. What a great way to celebrate. It's also your son's birthday.
My son's birthday. Happy birthday, Roosevelt.
Happy birthday.
Oh, Griffin.
Man. Oh, man. So he's listening. All right. All right. That's always cool to hear your name on the air all around the world because we are streaming live. So, Roosevelt, before we go, I want to talk a little bit about get your advice, I guess, if you will, on jazz, on reforming jazz education, especially as we talk about all these great things. We heard from Valdavia about how you guys do it in the Harvey School District. What can you say to make change so that jazz, specifically jazz, becomes a tool to reform education?
Well, first of all, don't be afraid of it. Utilize jazz for what it is. And what that means is, allow it to develop students for any type of music, whether it's classical or hip hop, anything. Understand that jazz can open up to many opportunities. So understand that it's not about a competition. The competitions are good, but make sure that the kids are benefiting from that experience. Because if we are our experiences, then make sure that we provide the best experience as it relates to jazz, and then we will see the fruits of jazz education.
Mm, wow. That's awesome. It's so funny. I'm sitting here taking notes. I'm like, oh, wait, I got a radio show. That is cool. Well, we're going to continue this conversation. And also, let's come back again very soon and talk about this. We'll do a segment like we did last year at camp.
Okay.
We'll talk a little bit more and get you on the air. So, ladies and gentlemen, just give it a round of applause to my friend, my good friend, and Golden Apple winner. And he deserves it. And he's using that award to make change. Mm. Thank you, Roosevelt.
Thank you, Orbert.
All right, this is The Real Deal with Orbert Davis on 90.9 FM WDCB. And I'll be right back with much, much more. And we'll dedicate the whole next hour to Roosevelt and the incredible work that he's doing in education.